I told you in the first act that I would tell you a little bit more about Ian Fleming and Ernst Stavro Blofeld. I went and I spent my honeymoon in Jamaica in 1961 and went to lunch at Goldeneye's house at Oricabessa. And he told me he was writing Thunderball and he wanted an evil name, and he lived down in the Chelsea Embankment in London, couldn't think of us a name, and caught a taxi at 11:30 the next day to his club Boodles, sank into a leather armchair, picked up the membership book, and looked through it. And when he got to the B's, he was confronted by a phalanx of Blofelds, my father, my brother, and myself. He slammed the book shut, gave a yelp of delight, ordered a pint of champagne, and never looked back. And that was apparently how Ernst Stavro Blofeld came into being. We had an extraordinary luncheon party with him. It was the greatest possible fun. We had lunch outside, and one of the guests was Noel Coward, can you imagine, who never stopped talking and telling the most wonderfully bitchy stories. And you know, it was absolutely sparkling stuff. And without him, I think we'd have all gone home 3 hours earlier. And at the end of the day, we were all just about to go at 5 o'clock. And he said to me, dear boy, he said, I've been so enchanted to meet you and your beautiful lady bride. He said, I do hope you'll do me the great privilege and honour of coming to my little house at Port Maria for dinner one night. And I was about to answer, and he said, don't you worry about doing anything. He said, you don't want to be worried about a dirty old man like me on your honeymoon. He said, I'll be in touch. And the very next day, we were staying at the Jamaica Inn in the principal suite, where I'm delighted to be able to say to get there, they had virtually had to prize Burton and Taylor apart. And I was sitting on this large double bed, really contemplating the infinite, I suppose, when the telephone rang and I picked it up. And a voice said, can I speak to Henry Blofeld? And I said, speaking. He said, this is Noel Coward. He said, I don't know if you remember, we met at lunch at Ian Fleming's place yesterday, which, as throwaway lines go, I didn't think was a bad one. And anyway, a car came, we went to dinner. Lynn Fontaine was there, the actress, who nature hadn't been too kind to her even then. And perhaps that's a bit unfair to say. And there was Graham Payne and Cole Leslie. And I was young and rather naive in those days. I didn't quite understand their purpose in life, but I was to discover fairly soon afterwards. It was a memorable dinner, made most memorable by something that happened at the end that made it as great a moment for me as playing cricket at Lord's at the age of 15. The master got up from his pew at the end of the table in his maroon smoking jacket, his claret-coloured smoking jacket, and went and sat at his Bechstein grand, on which he said he had composed most of his well-known music, which is also in the dining room. And he played and sang Mad Dogs and Englishmen, Don't Put Your Daughter on the Stage, Mrs. Worthington, and The Stately Homes of England. And quite honestly, it was extraordinary to be just about 3 yards away from the great man. And there he was. It was unbelievable. The panache, the sort of, I don't know, it was extraordinary. And I never forget it. I mean, okay, you could hear it recorded much better, I'm sure, in terms of sound quality, but nothing could quite recapture that moment for me. It was amazing. And I only met him once again, you know, extraordinary. About 2 years later, we had three plays going on in one theatre in the Charing Cross Road. And two short plays and one long one. The long play happened on the Monday night, the two short ones on the Tuesday night, the long one on the Wednesday night, and so on and so forth. And they went on for 9 months. I mean, they were, it was jolly good fun. And about a fortnight after they began, I was one day in London, and I was walking from Piccadilly Circus down towards the Ritz Hotel in Green Park, and I was just about level with the old men's outfitter, Simpsons, which had now become a bookshop, I think. And anyway, I was wandering along, thinking of nothing very much, when a taxi was obviously halted behind me. There was a slam of a door, a patter of feet, and a hand on my shoulder saying, dear boy, I haven't seen you for much too long. I've got 20 minutes. Well, let's nip across to the Piccadilly Hotel and have a horse's neck. Well, we went across and we drank two of the strongest brandies and gingers I've ever drunk in my life. And that was the last I saw of him. But there was an extraordinary thing about this, when you think about it. I hadn't seen him for 2 years. I'd only ever really met him once or twice. And the taxi was coming from behind me, and yet it was from behind that he recognized me. Test match special. No, well, don't get me wrong.